The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right, let's declare the word of the Lord. Say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Say it again. Say, I'm learning to pray. I am increasing the knowledge of how to pray. I am learning what to say. I am learning what to ask the Lord for. And I'm receiving answers to my prayers. Because I am praying according to the will of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, if you remember one thing I said last time, that I want, because we are teaching on the increase of the kingdom of God, and I want to pick up from what we teach on Saturdays and then use that one to lead prayers on Tuesdays. Because the foundation of everything, let me just emphasize it again. You know, there's something I said to my brethren the other day, we were talking about, I was just writing some thoughts, all right? Sometimes Christians, we say, act on the word of God, all right? I realized that actually, you can't act on the word of God. It is the word of God that acts on you. And that's how it works. If you obey God, it is because you allowed His word to act on you. God's words, when God speaks a word, it's not actually a commandment. It's an empowerment to do that which He has said. The woman was caught in the act of adultery, and Jesus, after, of course, you know the story, after He discharged all the accusers, He now said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. What was He saying? If you pay attention to what I have said, you will discover the ability to walk above sin in your life. Jesus wasn't giving commandments. You must understand what New Testament is about. The New Testament is not about commandments. You know this scripture, it said the law came by Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. What that means is that the Lord Jesus doesn't just tell you what to do. He empowers you to do them. When His word enters into you, what the word does is to cause you to do exactly what He has said. My best illustration of that is from the encounter that Ezekiel had with the Spirit of God. When the Lord said to him, Son of man, rise to your feet, all right, so that I may speak to you. Because he fell under an influence that was heavier than him, he couldn't by himself rise. But what happened? He said, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. So you see, the man obeyed what God said, but he wasn't the one that obeyed. It was the Spirit that entered into him to cause him to obey. Now, this is the point. If you are going to obey God, it will not be because you exerted yourself in obedience, but because you allowed the Spirit to enter into you and set you on your feet. Obedience to God is done by the Lord Himself. He said, it's God that is at work within you, both to will and to do. Are you getting my point? The willingness is by the Spirit of God. The doing is by the Spirit of God. The problem is when people hinder Him from doing, from making them willing. That's the problem. That is why God will be just in condemning anybody. God will be just, all right, in judging anybody, because nobody can say to Him, I did not know what to do, or I could not do it. It was beyond me. The Lord will say, I am not judging you for disobeying me. I am judging you for refusing to allow me do my will in your life. Are you following the point I'm making here? The duty of believers is to allow God do what He wants to do in our lives. That's the duty of believers. So why did I refer to that? So He said, when it comes to obeying the word of God, therefore, we draw near to the throne of grace so that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We discuss this all the time. This was written in the book of Hebrews chapter 4. We come near to the throne of grace. So when we come to pray, actually, what I want to do today, okay, is to first of all explain to us again the right things to pray for. We can't say these things enough. So what Christians often do, and that's what we pastors make the mistake concerning all the time when we are teaching people how to pray, we pray on things that are wrong. We focus on wrong prayer points. I say it all the time. People say, don't sleep. Your enemies are not sleeping. I say it's irrelevant. If the enemy cannot sleep, it's because God has not given him sleep. Do you understand? That's a matter of fact. He said, there is no rest for the wicked, says the Lord. So if the enemy cannot sleep, God says, you will not sleep. But as for me, my favorite scripture is, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. People say that Balak hired Balaam, and they were raising altars, 7 bullocks, 7 goats, 7 days, and they raised these things many times. They say, what are you doing sleeping? Your enemies are raising up altars against you. And I say, you don't read it correctly. When Balaam said that thing, that there's no enchantment against Jacob, Israel did not know anybody was raising anything against them. Israel was sleeping. Many of the prayers we rise up to pray at night is the reason why we will get into trouble. Do you know why? They are prayers of fear. He said, my enemies are awake. Let me rise up. There was a woman, I heard the story told by one preacher once, that during the Second World War, during the bombing campaigns, when the Germans would come to bomb London, of course, the bomb siren will go off, and everybody will go, and they go to the shelters around, go to the bunkers to hide from the bomb blast. A day came, and they didn't see this woman again. So they thought maybe she had gotten killed in one of the bombing raids. So one day, one man was going on the street. I think her pastor saw her on the street. Ah, madam, what's going on? We don't see you again at the bomb shelter. Oh, she said one day she was reading her Bible, and she heard that the Lord said, the Bible said that the Lord does not sleep or slumber. So he said, what's the point? Two of us keeping awake. So when the bombing raids come, which used to come at night, the woman decides that the Lord is awake. I should be asleep. So that, and that was it. That's how she was kept safe throughout that period. Sometimes when we are rising up to do some of this praying we do against, you know, I keep on, it's a plague these days. That's why you say, Pastor Banky, don't you have any other thing to say? It's not my fault. It's not my fault. When people leave every day and they go and hear the opposite, they leave you and they say, your enemies want to kill you. And they have fantastic stories to tell. If one of my colleagues, a woman came to their church over the last weekend, and by that the man finished preaching, the stories were so graphic. And this is the interesting part, all right? Many of those stories were actually true, but the interpretation is what the problem is. The young girl was going, an only daughter of a widow, then suddenly she died. And they took the body to a church to go and pray, and the Lord showed the other woman a revelation to see that it was one witch in the village that lit candles, you know, and then cast a spell, and then the girl died. He said, so, you will say, it will not happen to me. Begin to pray. All the enemies that still want to... You see, that is the interpretation. They said pictures don't lie, but captions do. So the story may look true, but the comment on it is what the problem is. Your own is that, if I was the one, I said, why would my case be like that one? I'll just be sorry for the girl. Oh, she was not dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, so she could not abandon the shadow of the Almighty. That's my interpretation. I will not say because it happened to somebody, I will not become afraid. The Lord is my shepherd. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. When Balaam was doing everything against the people of Israel, they were not even aware. What am I trying to say? Listen, sometimes our prayers are wrongly directed. And I want to talk again briefly today to redirect our prayers on the things that matter. We are on Saturdays, we have been talking about the increase of God's of the kingdom of God on the earth. And we have been establishing the fact that it is the primary thing is for us to remain salt. Later on, we'll get into the issue of what we are supposed to actively do. But what we do passively is to ensure that we are not conformed to the world. The number one way by which we cause the kingdom of God to advance is to ensure that we do not become like the world. It's not to try and change the world. Now, we'll try. We will preach, all right? We'll teach. Later, I'll get into that later on, all right? But the primary thing is that make sure you don't become like them. That is the primary thing. Without that, all your preaching is in vain. Paul said, don't be conformed to the world. Now, we're in our school of prayer, so I'm just going to emphasize, so if we're not going to be conformed to the world, what do we do? The other day I was teaching, I explained that one area where we must never be conformed, that's the primary area, is in our thought processes, how we think, what we accept as normal. No matter how you feel, make sure you do not accept what the world says as normal is normal. If God says it is abnormal, the word of God must be the standard. And that's where Satan comes. He comes to change your mind concerning how you reason. He came to the woman and said, has God really said what he just wanted? He couldn't have come to Eve and say, go and eat that fruit. You know, I'm the devil. I'm going to kill you if you don't eat it. He wouldn't say that. What was he going to do? He would simply say to her, or what did he say? Has God really said? It was when he changed her mind that she was able to disobey. So if we're not going to be conformed to the world, that's what I'm going to explain. We start from the area of how we see things, how we reason. And this is where we are, all right, in this our teachings. To say that how do we control those things is by engaging our mouth. How will we not be conformed to the world? There's a process as believers that we are supposed to use. And that's what this school of prayer is about. This is what we use prayer for if we are going to advance the kingdom of God. First of all, now remember what we said? If we're going to advance the kingdom, it is not because we're actively trying to advance it. Are you getting my point? It is, first of all, we must make sure that we do not get conformed to the world. We must maintain our purity as salt of the earth. That is the primary thing. How do we do this? It's not by our effort. It's by the principle of prayer again. That's what I'm talking about. It's our school of prayer. So my emphasis is on how do we use prayer to ensure that we are not conformed to the world. That's what I'm teaching this today. And I'm saying that I want to redirect Christians to know that this is the primary prayer point they should have. Many of the prayers we pray in this world, in today's Christianity, they are unnecessary. That's why I started talking about the enemy thing again. They are unnecessary. Do you know, God really does not even expect us to be praying for prosperity, to be praying for increase, to be praying for promotion. He said all of these things will be added to you. The prayer point of Christians, let's look at it quickly. I want to read this scripture, first of all. The book of Luke chapter 10, you know this story very well. Jesus went to the house of Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. If you read from verse 40, the Bible says that Martha, sorry, I'm not going to wait for you because you know the scripture very well. So in case you want to take note of where it is, it's Luke chapter 10, but let me just read it from verse 40. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Well, if you care, then tell her to help me. Now, verse 41. Then the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. Now, that's my emphasis, verse 42. The Lord said to her, only one thing is necessary. He said, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken from her. Now, my point here is the one thing that is necessary. One thing that is necessary. Now, please bear that in mind. Go back to the book of Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount that we know very well. Can you do me a favor? Tell your neighbor, don't pray a prayer of worry. Say it again. Don't pray prayers of worry. Don't pray prayers of anxiety. I'm saying that because many prayer points we have as Christians are prayers of worry. They are prayers of anxiety. Let me just quickly say something. Say, what if I have a need? Your prayer must be a prayer of casting. You know what I mean by that? When you pray about something, it's so as to push it away out of your mind, push it away out of your focus, push it away out of the focus of your eyes, so that it's no longer in front of you. You pray about them so you can literally discharge them. And that's why as Christians, you shouldn't, especially when it comes to material things, once you start praying about the same thing again and again, it is becoming a prayer of worry. Lord, you know, last year, I said I'm going to have a job. This year, it must not pass me by. Begin to pray. This year, it will not pass me by. Hear you the word of the Lord. That is a prayer of anxiety. So what if it comes to mind? Thank God for it. And consciously, let me say something about prayers. Christians, this is what we do. That's what it means to be a believer. It is not as if you can't have, let me use the expression now, we can't have temptations in life. Yes. But how do we react to them? We recognize that these are temptations and we work to push them away. I want to digress briefly. Let me just explain something. As I said in life, be very careful what you agree with. What Obama and co, what they have done in America and they are actively doing. The arguments they keep saying is that this is the feeling some of us have, all right? Why do you want to deny us? Now, this is what Christians are. This is how Christians reason. Christians say, we don't care how you feel. I don't care how I feel. If it's against the word of God, I take it as a temptation which I must fight. Do you get my point? I won't, you see, for example, if I get to my, my neighborhood, there are some people that don't control their dogs. At night, the dogs sneak out. I don't have a dog in my compound, but I have a compound that human beings can easily get into. But you know, dogs, they will find a small, actually, there's a small drain, all right, very drain in my house, getting water out of the compound. They enter into the drain, crawl inside the drain, and come into the compound. I went and put, the metal rods. Okay? They found a place because the way my gate opens is near the drain. They found a small part under the gate. They entered. So I came and bent the wire rod. They will see, they don't want to wire. Do you get my point? Actually, one day they called the committee meeting and they were meeting in the front of my house. I don't know how the dogs gathered themselves. Now, he said, what's my issue with dogs? I'll tell you. Each time they call me, what did I do? I drive them. I find a method to ensure that they don't like coming to my compound. I'm not saying, you see, this is how dogs are naturally. So let them come anytime they want. No, I don't say that. I say, these guys are intruders. I don't have a dog. What are they looking for in my compound? They must like my house. It's very good for having midnight dog meetings. What am I saying? I fight them all the time because they don't belong there. I don't get angry with myself. I don't say, since these dogs want to come here, let me now adopt them. What I just simply do is that, how are they getting in? This is how it is. Then you block it. What am I saying? Because it doesn't agree with the word of God, no matter how it is, if it enters my head, if it enters my life, what do I do? I fight it. You don't belong here. In fact, the Bible says, beware of dogs. That was all Paul wrote to the Philippians. Beware of dogs. That is, I know that if these things are not supposed to be in my mind, they're not supposed to be in my feeling, I will fight them. The illustration I like to use all the time is this. You know, because I react to the things like, because you see the way people write, you read books, you see the way people behave all over the world. A man is married, he decides to leave his wife after a while and marry another person. Why? He said, I deserve to be happy. You know, this is how my feeling has been. I am in love. You're mad. You are in love with somebody that's not your wife. Is it right? Could he have had that feeling being a good man? Yes, it's possible. But Christians, what do? We don't obey the feelings. What do we? We say this feeling, you're of your father, the devil. So we settle down and start doing what? Fighting. If the idea comes to your mind, you use the word of God to fight it. You never, ever obey an impulse, an interest, a thought, all right, a feeling that disagrees with divine order. That's what we are saying. Now, back to what I'm saying. Where I digress into that from. So when it comes to this issue of praying now, so sometimes the prayer, the thought wants to come to you. Yes, last year I prayed to God that he will bless me and increase me, financially promote me, get me a good job, a husband, a child, a wife, stuff like that. Then the thing comes back again. This time around, he said, this thought for you to want to stay in my mind, you are a temptation. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. You are what? A temptation. So what do I say to the thought? I say, bank, you know, since last year I've been praying, no, that God should give you a new car. He hasn't done it. He said, listen, Mr. Car, Mr. Thought of a new car, listen to me, you are a temptation. You cannot be the primary focus of my life. I have prayed to God about it. I have cast my burden upon the Lord, for he cares for me. I have thrown it off my mind. If he tries to return, I will warn him, don't come back here. Beware of the dogs, you know. Like I said earlier, I block the way. Sometimes, how do they come in? It's your mother. It's your friend. They seem to be caring about you. You know that thing? How far now? You know, since last year. Beware of what? Dogs. Tell your mother simply, that matter, I don't want to discuss it again. Very nicely. I don't wish to discuss it. But what are you doing about it? I have done everything I'm going to do. What did you do? Don't worry, I'm an adult. I know how to handle my issues. You know what they are doing? You are maintaining the cast. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have cast the burden on the Lord, so we are maintaining that cast position. Is that English correct? You know, I'm always happy. It's correct. Yes. We are maintaining the cast position. Say, hey, you stay there. Now, this is the unfortunate part. We believers, we church Christians these days, most of our churches, what do? We re-invite the matter and make it a central prayer point. Therefore, disobeying the word of God, we begin to pray prayers of anxiety. Somebody says to you, I know you have prayed about this. We've been praying about this last week. Now we are going to say to God, today. We said that last week. I don't know whether you remember. I'm imagining now. Your mind said, Pastor, we said this last week. You said to God, today. And God said, I heard you today. That was last week. So if you said today again, we are starting all over again. If it was supposed to manifest 3 weeks after the first day, once you say today, we start recounting. It's called reset, factory reset. Many of our prayers are prayers of anxiety, prayers of worry. What did the Lord Jesus say? Let's go back to where we're reading. Matthew chapter 6. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. He said, it's not life more than food, and the body more than clothing. You know, I'm reading the New American Standard Bible. He said, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? He said, observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. Please, notice this. The Gentiles, and when you talk about Gentiles, you are referring to the fact that they do not know God. They do not understand God is a heavenly Father. He said, the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. What are you supposed to do? Remember, one thing is necessary. We read that from Luke chapter 10. One thing is necessary. One thing is needful. So Jesus said, what are we supposed to do? Back to Matthew chapter 6 now. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You will not have to seek them. They will be what? Added. He says, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Why did I read this? I want to explain that our prayers should be refocused. If Jesus says to you, don't worry about something, he literally means don't worry about it. If he says, if you don't worry about it, your heavenly Father will add the matter to you, what it means literally is that your heavenly Father will add it to you. It's okay. Now, I said something to us before. God never tells us what not to do without telling us what to do. Like they say in physics, physical sciences, they say nature abhors a vacuum. You know, you can't just cast out an evil spirit out of somebody, because the evil spirit will come out. If he finds the place empty, he will return. Do you understand that? So you have to fill the place with the Spirit of God. In the same manner, when the Lord says, don't do this, he always tells you what to do. He never leaves you empty. Anytime you see something in the scriptures that appear like a commandment, all right? The thing that appears like a commandment, the Lord saying, don't do this. Look around that area. You will find out something he said you should do in his place. For example, you say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. You don't just fight the desires of the flesh. You make sure you are walking in the Spirit. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or the ungodly. He does not sit, and this does not stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But, can you see that? But his delight, there's something else he's doing. You can't just say, I won't walk in the way of I won't sit in the seat of scoffers, I won't walk in the way of sinners, and I won't stand in the way of sinners, scornful, and all the guys. You understand my point? Think it's easy, come and do the preaching now. All right, the Lord is good. So this man is not only avoiding this scornful, you know, sinners and all of that. What he's doing. You know, if you just say that, I won't do that. Let me give an example. As a young man, as a young woman, you can't just say, I will not keep company with bad people. You have to keep company with good people. Do you understand? Because when you are idle, one day they will come, they will just come and catch you one day when you are just alone. Keep company with good people. Okay, say, I'm not going to go to parties. I'm not going to go to the club. I'm not. Then go to church. It's true. You go to church. You have to read something. Say, I won't be browsing on bad websites. Browse on good websites. And just sit that damn. Just, I won't do. You must do something. You are meant for doing something. No, I'm telling you, look, even when people call patience, I'm waiting for God. I've told you before, patience, waiting for God doesn't mean I'm doing nothing. Patience, waiting for God means, he said, occupy with this until I come. God never says, sit down here and do nothing. Occupy with this until I come. So what are you doing? I am waiting for God. So, right? Good. We are waiting for God. So, what are we doing? We are occupied. When they were tarrying in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Go and check, they were praying. Not about, hey, what am I? I'm waiting. What are you going to do? Just wait. Continue sleeping off. You'll be sitting down there, discussing one another, encourage, because you can't just sit down and do nothing. No. You can't just sit down and do nothing. There must be something that is positive that you are doing that's keeping you away from the thing that God said, do not do. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law, he meditates day and night. That is why he doesn't have time to be mingling and wasting time with people who are going to lead him astray. What am I going to emphasize? When God says, don't do one thing, he says, do another. And it is easier to obey the don't do when you are busy doing the one that he said what? Do. He said, do not worry about tomorrow as an example. And what was he saying by that? He said, there are things that the Gentiles seek. Don't be praying about this, focusing on these little things of life. So what do I do therefore? You have to pray. If you're a pastor of a church, you want to gather people to pray. Say, Pastor Bang, you say we cannot be gathering to pray about our food, our clothing, and our house, our material things. What do we pray about? He said, simple. Seek first the kingdom of God. That should be the preoccupation. That is, should a Christian that's not worried about what he will eat, drink, pray? Yes. What should he worry about, in quote, all right? What should he now be concerned about? How am I improving in my walk with God? He says, if you do that, other things will be added to you. We are talking about the advancement of the kingdom of God. That's what I'm talking about. All right? I said the first thing is for us to remain pure. And that purity is not maintained by personal effort or personal determination. It's by using the appropriate, let me use the word, technology. Spiritual technology. Now, what am I trying to say? So, if we are therefore going to remain the pure salt of the earth that God wants us to be, I'm trying to tie two things together. It's not going to be because of our own effort. It's going to be because we understand it as a call of God for our lives and we have employed the appropriate technology. For example, here, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I was explaining something earlier. So what should I be praying about? Is it that, oh, God, I don't have a car yet? No, that's not it. It is like, I still get angry. I don't know why I get so angry when somebody annoys me by a small thing. I don't know what I get what I'm saying there. That's it. And it's a serious prayer point. There's something I do this day that upsets me. It's not so terrible in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of God, it's not good. I hate it when I tell you that I will transfer that money this morning. Like one of our brothers who sent money today. I said, this AM, that's what I wrote. I did it at 2 PM. I felt very bad. I told him AM. Someone say, is that a bad thing? Didn't you just transfer the money? I said to him, you will get the alert this morning. I was very busy. But I left my computer, so by the time I detached myself from where I was working to go and do it, it was 2 p.m. I felt very bad. And I do that a lot these days. I tell somebody, okay, I should be in your house by morning, in the morning. I don't get it till afternoon. The fact that I have an excuse doesn't make it right. So what do I do? No, really, this literally happened to me recently. I just pray. I said, Lord, I don't like this. Why do I tell people I will do something in the morning and I don't do it till night? Even though for many people you say that as long as you still do it. No, I'm like God.
He said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is what? It's perfect.
My prayer to God is that if I tell you, you will get it by 12. Everything within my powers must be put in to ensure that by 12 o'clock you have it. And let me tell you how spiritual things work. If I make it a habit, after a while, the things that are not within my power, they will cooperate to make sure that my words never fail. And go and check. That was how Samuel was. Samuel, all this one that you are saying that, you just say, you are talking to me. It will go better for you. Samuel couldn't dare do it. Because not one word that came out from the mouth of Samuel fell to the ground. That was how God dealt with Samuel. So for me as a Christian, once in a while, this one, the one I gave as an example, I told him this morning, once it crossed 12, I was busy somewhere, we were doing exams in the university, so I was invigilating, I was doing stuff. I finally managed to get somebody to cover the place I was invigilating, to go down to an office where I kept my computer, to really go and do the transaction online for the fellow. And I felt bad about it. That this, you said this morning, is this afternoon. You may say, what's the big deal? You never, if you're a man of integrity, you're a woman of your word, people will start waiting, say, he said morning. Don't worry, we will get this thing paid before morning. And people are hanging on it. And I say, what does it matter? I still paid you that day. Did he say I'll pay you today? Now, it appears like a small thing, and I'm happy you think it's a small thing. You know what I'm saying? So, because you see, the amount of things we still need to pray about. We don't, and listen, you know, if I trek to go and preach, it's not a big deal. Do you get what I'm saying? You see, where's Pastor Banky? That's him coming. He's walking down the road. Pastor, could you used to walk to church? So it's not a big deal. But if they tell me service is at 9, I will start preaching by 10. And I fly down in a private jet. Then from the airport, I get a limo to drive me to church, and I get at 11:30. Service at 9, you're supposed to start preaching by 10, you arrive at 11:30. Which one will you prefer if you're the host pastor? The pastor that came in a private jet and a limo and came 1.5 hours late while everybody was waiting for him and his agbada was flowing, say, God is a good God. Or the man who trekked, you said 9 o'clock, you start preaching by 10, he said, okay, I'll be there. 9:30 he was there, cooling himself down to come and preach. Which one is better? I don't care the one you say. I'll tell you the one that's better. The man who came on time. But what do? We are willing to spend days praying that this is my year of breakthrough. This year, it must not pass me by. Emeka bought the car last year. Chooks bought the car in January. By February, Fidelis has bought his own. By March, it must be my turn. That's an arrant nonsense prayer point. It's covetous, it's worldly. Jesus said clearly, don't worry about those things. But why didn't you say, Lord, you know, in January, I told Frank all the money I was owing him, I'll finish paying. It's February. The man needs his money to keep on his business. I haven't finished paying. Lord, make me like Samuel, that none of my words will fall to the ground in the name of Jesus. You know, we don't do that. Meanwhile, Jesus actually commanded. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that's the righteousness of God we're talking about. I'd like to give the story of one of my very good friends. He's a preacher of the gospel. Let me just not mention his name now. Our alumni association, many of you know about this. Quite a number of us followed me for the last convention, LOCAF. The way we run it, everybody comes. It's free. You just walk in. We use the best hotel in Benin currently, all right, because of volume of people that come. We need a lot of rooms, you know. It's comfortable, everybody. You come with your, especially if you're married, they just give you a nice room, just you and your wife, or if you have a child or two, you guys manage the room, you know. But if you're single, we may, you know, pair you up with other guys. And we stay like 3-4 days, and nobody charges you for the meals. Breakfast time, just go to where the food is, you collect your food. Lunch time, you know, supper, like that. And when we finish the program, we don't even take offerings during the program. Each meeting will just end and we go. That's how we do. We've done it like that for over 20 years now. All right? The meetings I've held for 26 years. But that pattern started about 22 years ago, 21 years ago. It's been a while. Now, this is the point I'm making. Where does the money come from? It comes from people there. The last one we finished, Our hotel bills, the check we gave the hotel to pay for their rooms and everything that we use was like 5 million naira. Let's write the check for them. That's for just about 3 days. All right? And brethren just walk in, walk out. That doesn't include feeding, nothing. Doesn't include other logistics. We hire child minders, we hire food managers, we hire other people that do a lot of things for us. We pay everybody. How does the money come? It's simple. Brethren, just give as your spirit. Two things must cooperate to. Your spirit and your pocket. You know what I'm saying? Bros, you know your levels now, amen? Now, you see where I'm going to that in a moment. One of our brothers used to say that he's a minister of the gospel. So usually what we do, just take pledges. In the last few years, we don't do it anymore. We just remind brethren that, look, we need money over the next few weeks. So guys, send it whatever you can. We just send an email and text messages around. And brethren just start putting in the accounts. So one day he told me that, now listen to what I'm talking about. Seek first his righteousness. He said every time they give offerings, because he just tells me I don't have too much money, he writes a pledge of 10,000 naira. And he pays. So one day he told himself, wait, this 10,000 naira has been my pledge every year for the last, let's say, 5 years or 6 years. He said, no. The next year, I should be able to give more than 10,000 naira. So he wrote a pledge and wrote 100,000. A month to the convention, he hadn't paid a couple. Seek first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. So he turned it to a matter of spiritual matter. You get my point? Ah, Lord, no. I said 100,000, it must flow. Convention is starting so and so date. So he'll just be going on the road. Maybe something happened. He just gets an alert, 5,000 naira. He'll go to his bank, draw 5,000, walk over to the association account, pay him 5,000, say, remaining 95. One day in the morning, assume he paid like 15,000 in the morning. By afternoon, he paid the balance to make it up to 100,000. In fact, our financial secretary called him and said, ah, man of God, what's going on? He said, boy, God is happening. You get what I'm saying? Now, you see, why? Because the man, I'm trying to bring out this show, seeking first his righteousness. He said, this is a matter of what? Righteousness. I have given my word. He made sure. And now, you know why I refer to that? It gets to a point in which God says, no, my son has said this, let not his words fall to the ground. That is what I'm trying to emphasize for Christians to get. We spend our prayers a lot of times on things that really don't matter. When somebody says, this weekend, we are doing all-night prayer, by morning, anyone that was single will have found a wife. Anyone that was single will have found a husband. Declare it on air enough. You know what you need to rent? National Stadium. Because everybody is going to come. I want to say funny things. They will not start sowing dangerous seeds. It will go and clear your account. What are you doing with money in your account when your life is not moving forward? You will clear your account and say, God, this is my year of breakthrough. And you see all the muguns go there. Light check, put on that. The pastor is feeling very happy. So this program was very good. Listen, 99% get nothing. What I thought is not a lie. 99% will get nothing. Why? Because there is a scripture they are disobeying. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They are not seeking it. Because if he called the same people and say, every lying person whose words don't come to pass the way he has promised it, come, we are praying all night. By tomorrow morning, you'll be a man of integrity. Nobody's showing up. So my wife, say, doctor said I shouldn't be staying up late. If this pastor has put the program in the morning, I would have been there. Well, it's night. You go there, that one. Don't rent any big hall room. Just do it in your sitting room because the only people that will come. Yeah, the Bible says we should seek what? His righteousness. That's what I'm explaining. I use the story of my brother to show you something that the man made it a matter of determination. No, I must leave this thing. And it wasn't, most of us, we said, no, this year, I'm not using Tokumbo cars again. I believe in God that by this year, all my cars will be brand new. It's not a bad thing, really. But then, do you notice my friend didn't do that? What did he say? How can I be giving 10,000 naira only after all these years? Said, no, I must step up. That is called his righteousness. Why I told that story is that when God saw his heart, God arranged events. What happened was that because he's a preacher of the gospel. Another of our brothers, he told me, he gave me testimony, that day, that one just called him and said, Ah, how do I send you some money? You know, just call him, say, Western Union, I'm sending some money to you. That fellow say, thank. Now, listen to me. This is a man who needed the money. His friends from the brother from abroad just called and said, I've just sent you so and so amount of money. Thank you. He just walked to the bank, collected the money. As he collected, he walked to the next bank and paid into the other account. Called the other guy got the alert and called him and said, ah, man of God, what's going on? He said, God is happening. Because he proposed in his heart, said, let me seek his righteousness. But let me tell you something that happened to him. I want to give you as a testimony. That when you focus your life on righteousness, you know what I call it? Righteousness. That my words must not fall to the ground. Once he told his children, he had a new house. For certain reasons, when he moved to that house, he didn't move in with any property, so he didn't have anything in the house. If I one day I visited him, they just had some, this one they put beside swimming pool. Those long ones. And you put on the side beside the plastic chairs anyway. He had like two of that in the sitting room. When I get there, I just relax on there, see if I'm beside the pool, just chill out. He told me later that he told his children that particular year that they shouldn't worry, that before December, he's going to furnish the whole house. And you know the truth? They believed him. And he relaxed. I'm talking about your words. You know, it's not just about grab, grab, grab. It's about righteousness. He gave me the testimony later. One day, got a call. And one of our brothers just said to him, he said, listen, I'm sending $3,000 to you. Collect it from banking. So he told me. So he called me and said, hey, no. Actually, the guy told me. I told him. So he said, all right. And he just told me simply that, all right, fine. That the money, okay, when is he going to get it? And I said, okay, that guy is going to arrive in January. He said, January. It's okay, no problem. And I said, is there any issue with it? He said, yeah, I would like to have it now. So I said, all right. Because Kingdom World, we buy dollars all the time to pay our broadcasters. That's the distinct. I said, okay, no problem. We will pay you the Naira equivalent. Is he okay? He said, yes. So when the dollar comes, we'll give it to our broadcasters. So I sent him the money the last week in December. That was when he gave me the testimony. He just went to the guy making furniture, paid him the balance. By 27, 28, the house was furnished. Do you get my point? Because God said, the words of this man must not fall to the ground. Many of us want to go and sow stupid seeds. It is not about sowing a seed, then I can get a breakthrough. He just told his children, don't worry. Before this year is over, I furnish the whole house. He told me later that he had some money, had paid the guy who was selling furniture. He said, okay, take. I'll give you the balance later. So that day, he just went, paid the man the balance. God did not allow his words fall to the ground. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and other things to be what? Added. The problem with us Christians is that we hear this kind of testimonies. Now start sowing seed. The man didn't sow seed. Are you getting what I'm saying? No. What he did was just ensure that his words don't fall to the ground. It doesn't have to be money. It can be just a matter of God knows that anytime you say, I will be somewhere by 12 o'clock, 12 o'clock you will be there. You say to somebody, don't worry. Okay, is this school fees? Don't worry. I will pay for the two of them. I'm going to pay before the first semester exam starts. And you pay. And then, you see, this is a matter of determination. They said, but 12 o'clock is raining. He said, no, I told him I would be there before 12. If I have to get a keke napep, get rain boots, I will be there before 12. A day will come when you make a promise, maybe financially, and it's bigger than you. God said, no. This girl, her words must not fall to the ground. He will rearrange events to make sure that thing happens. Do you get my point? I hope you are getting this in the correct perspective. It's not about the way Christians reason these days, as if I just give God 10 kobo and he gives me 1 naira. Who's talking about that? There was a day Peter spoke and made a pledge in the name of Jesus. That is, they said, does your master pay the temple tax? He said, he does. So where is the money? So let me go and ask him. If Jesus did anything, it was necessary to be done. He didn't walk on water to impress anybody. He walked on water because the apostles were about to drown. He walked to go and catch up with them. So that they just said, as soon as Peter walked in, he said, wait, is it right for us to pay this particular tax? Peter said, no. I knew that it wasn't right. No wonder he wanted to turn back and say, we are not paying. Jesus said, wait, lest we give them offense. Wait. Any money there? Nothing. The Lord checked his pocket. He didn't even have a pocket. So the pocket was with Judas. And Judas was building a house, you understand? In his village. So he was stealing the ministry money. and sending it home. There was no money that day. So the Lord just said to him simply, don't worry. Take a fishing hook, go to the river, catch a fish, open his mouth, there will be enough money for you and for me. Why? Because a promise had been made on behalf of the Lord. He said that word must never fall to the ground. Are you getting what I'm saying? Many times we spend all night praying about money, praying about things that we don't have. God says, no. Don't spend all night on that. Spend all night and say, I'm a husband. Am I loving the way God commanded I should be loving? I'm a wife. Am I submissive the way God commanded I should be submissive? I'm a young man, stay with my parents. Am I obedient the way God said I should be obedient? Or, for example, maybe you do work, you give appointment to your clients. If your story is not the end, you tell them come on Monday, and they won't get it till Wednesday. On Wednesday, you say something happened. Then Friday, they come back, what happened? They say, there was an emergency in the village. Come back next week. When that story keeps on going, now this is the point, I know sometimes things like that happen in life, but I'm going somewhere here. If you realize that this is a matter of unrighteousness. Are you getting my point? That's my emphasis. You say this is a matter of what? Unrighteousness. So I turn it to a prayer point. I turn it to a prayer point. Say, no, Lord, this is not good. One of the heroes of faith, Samuel, anytime he will say something, his words did not fall to the ground. What am I? I'm not even a prophet. I am just a mechanic to deliver somebody's car. I'm just a tailor to sew somebody's clothes and deliver. I'm just a furniture maker to tell the man that I will deliver in 2 weeks. I'm a computer repair person. I'm a salesperson. Why is it that my words are falling to the ground and I am not bothered? Is that being bothered that I'm talking about? And they will know now. Is it my like somebody told my wife, is it my fault? But you say you'll be there by 12. Didn't you see that rain? Is it my fault? Listen, it's not about the rain. It's about you gave a word and it didn't come to pass. That should be what will bother you. Say, I gave a word. It did not come to pass. What happened? It rained. No, it's not the rain. The rain should have stopped for me. And listen, you know when rain will start stopping for you? When you enter it to fulfill a word, that's when it starts stopping for you. Now you stay in the house, say, Bishop, let us pray. This rain will command you to stop. Bishop, it didn't stop. Hey, we can't go now. You see what I'm saying? When God says, okay, these boys, if we don't stop the rain, they will enter. Let me tell you something. You know why God killed Goliath for David? I keep on telling you, David was not, how do I say this? He didn't have the kind of faith you are thinking of. In the name of Jesus, I declare, I shall kill Goliath. God knew that this boy is ready to die. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. That this boy, how do I know? He didn't have to be talking to Saul when it was time to kill the lion. The lion just took something that was precious to him. And David said, while I am on duty, no lamb, no sheep will get lost. This lion, you don't know me. I am convinced. Well, don't let me say it like that, but I strongly suspect that if David was older, he would leave that lion alone. He would have learned that after all, was one sheep, this one can bear five tomorrow. If I die now, we shepherd will be here for this. That's my suspicion. But because he was a young boy, he didn't get all of that. His own was that, I'm on duty here. That means nobody should try it. Nobody should come near. You're saying. So a lion came. What are you looking for? If the lion had passed, Jaja, you know there was no trouble. David just went to do one thing, recover his property. Go and read it. He said, when it turned on me, that is, I wasn't looking for trouble. I just wanted to say, Mr. Lion, please, that goat is mine. He got there, sir, this is my own goat. He took it in. Lion said, what? What insult? Turned on David. So like Americans would say, I was defending myself. You know, lion turned on me. Am I going to watch and let the guy kill me? And God empowered him. He killed the lion. The same thing happened with the bear. So when it was time for Goliath, let me put it like this, heaven was used to it. Heaven was used to his attitude. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. Heaven was used to it. So one day, guys, listen, that was a man, because you must understand, when he was talking about Goliath, he was talking from experience. When he faced the lion, faced the bear, there was no experience. It was a man who did not love his life unto death. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Listen, God will not stop praying for you to keep an appointment until you have kept an appointment wet. He won't bother. You know why? You've told him simply, it doesn't matter. I give my word, does not matter. So Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. That's what I'm talking about. What we use prayer for. We can go and pray all night looking for money. Pray all night looking for husband. Pray all night looking for children. Pray all night looking for wife, looking for husband, looking for promotion. But do we pray all night so that we stop saying things that are not accurate? Listen, when we start praying all night to fine-tune our spiritual character, I'm telling you, no lack will be found in our lives. Because Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to you. It's not it may be, but adventure God remembers that you are praying, he may just give something. No, all other things will be added. That's what I mean when I say prayers are wrongly addressed. All my enemies, you will die this year. How many of you have seen that video going around? If you haven't seen it, you have to see that video. You must see that. I wish I had a projector. I will show you now. They show Catholics praying, Pentecostals praying, and Mountain of Fire prayer. The Catholic prayer, two guys were standing there. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are thou amongst women. He said, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Pentecostal one was, it was the Mountain of Fire one that was interesting. The guy said, what are you waiting for? Die by fire! Die by fire! You haven't seen that video. Some people know their work. That is, comedians. The same way you are preaching or doing your business, some people are writing serious comedy. What made me laugh was, what are you waiting for? That's why I said the prayer. So what are you waiting for? Die by fire. Die. While he was praying, he knocked his partner in the head. That one collapsed. No, you have to look for that video and watch it. Just 15 seconds. You will laugh. The Lord is good. What is the point I'm making? See, we pray a lot of times because we are afraid. Enemy wants to kill me. Enemy is the reason why I'm not making progress. Enemy wants to do something bad to me. But the Lord Jesus said something clearly. Pray for your enemies. He said, love those who hate you. Pray for your enemies. Do good to those who despitefully use you. He said, that way you will be true children of your heavenly Father who is in heaven. Who does not distinguish where the wicked people and the righteous people are in Enugu when this rain is falling. He lets it fall on everybody. So you should be like that. Now, that is not easy. Tell somebody, that's not easy. Twice in your office, your boss has shown it to you. As long as I'm here, you see your appraiser. They say you need 70 to be promoted. The man, while you are watching, say, look at it, he gives you 58. And put it there, say, this young man is of doubtful competence. You thought he was joking, first year, second year. You know, if you are going to some churches, your pastor will say, what is he waiting for? He has to die by fire, die by fire. And then you, of course, ignorant Christian will be following him. Die, die. I know the unfortunate aspect. Sometimes the man will die. Say, why did he die? Because you said he should do what? Die. Why? Because your words are actually powerful, especially if he's a sinner, a real one. This is what they call accusation. The only problem you don't realize is that you are walking on the side of Satan. That's why you don't, you know, you have a testimony, but actually, when they divided it, there were intercessors on this side and accusers on the other side. You and your pastor were on the side of accusers. You were walking with the devil. You did not know. Then you come and give a testimony of our devilish activities. Praise the Lord. I joined the camp of Satan. I began to accuse the man who hated me. I told him to die. I told him to die by fire. Die by fire. And then, do you know, brethren, last week I heard he was traveling, he had an accident, and he died. The whole church, we are all praise the Lord. All of them have just been condemned. They are not like their father who is in heaven. They are walking with Satan. Listen to me. Let me quickly drop this. None of those people who listen like that will do well in life. Listen. Their children will have problems. Later on in life, their businesses will have problems. They will die earlier than God wanted them to die. Why? Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He said, he that shows mercy, will obtain mercy. The guy did not show mercy, he will find no mercy. Listen, he's an enemy to somebody else, he doesn't realize it. How should a Christian pray? My boss is a wicked boss. Lord, my battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The evil spirit that's using this man to attack me, you will not succeed in Jesus' name. But as for that man, why should the heart be given to the devil? He needs the gospel of Jesus. Lord, I pray for him, that light will shine upon him. Listen to me. It doesn't mean the man will survive. It means that you are not on the side of the devil. And when you do him good, when God is tired, you know what God does? God knows how to repay him. God says clearly, if you do good to those who hate you, let me add many words now, and they are not responding to the prompting of the Holy Spirit to stop doing evil against you, then you are heaping coals of fire. Literal one, it's going to burn. It's not as if the man will feel bad. Some people won't feel bad. One day that fire will burn him. And I remember the testimony of one man, I won't mention his name. He did good to his uncle. And the uncle literally caught fire. What did he do to the man? Good. The man did him and the family evil. But at least he can say something with pride. I did not work with the devil. When the man fell sick, I sent him money. When he was in hospital after fire caught him, we drove there to go and pay money to help him recover. Then when he saw us coming, the spirit ran away and he died. Do you get the point I'm making here? So you see, was he the one that did the man evil? No. But God said, this man is not worthy of the good you guys are doing to him. So I will personally judge him. What am I teaching Christians? How do we pray? First, I've clearly talked about how to pray for enemies. But more importantly, I said it's not easy. That is when you need to pray hard. And say, God, see this Mr. Anjali Koko, left to me, he should die by fire. However, since you said in the scriptures that I should do good to him because I know he hates me, what I'm going to do is I'll start doing him good. When there's a problem with parking, I will block a parking space to wait his arrival. When I see him moving, I open the place so he can park. If people are plotting evil against him, I will make sure they stop. And I will pray for him regularly. Is that easy? No, Lord. So tonight we are going to pray that you will give me the power to pray for him. Because left to him, he should die by fire. See, this is what Christians do with prayer. All this one, wake up at midnight, they pursue those who are pursuing you. It is the reason why you will get tired. Why should you be pursuing those who are pursuing you? You should be pursuing the Lord. You never heard of Pursuit of God? There's a book by A.W. Tozer. Pursuit of God. You pursue God. Say, Lord, where are you? There I want to be found. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You see that inflection in that psalm? It was a conscious thing a man had to do, a woman had to do, to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And that we do with praying. I hope you are getting what I want to say here. So when we are praying, we are talking about being salt of the earth, maintaining our righteousness. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The same way people seek the material things and they call it prayer. Prayer of anxiety. Listen, anything that's lacking in your life, use a dismissal prayer to commit it to God and relax. Until that thing shows up, be asking yourself every day, what is it that I am not seeking that's preventing the good that God has ordained for my life from coming into my life? There are those that God still says, he will tell you simply, you know your problem? You still can't stand people making progress that you have not made. You know, a lot of it's a natural human thing. Your friend bought a car, no problem, you already have one. But all of it na tokumbo. So no problem. Then one day he changed for another token, but you are still using the same one. Then one day he bought it brand new. This boy does not even, he doesn't even come to church regularly. What's going on here? Then you go and pray. God says, you know the issue? You are not yet able to rejoice at the progress of other people. That is the kingdom of God you need to seek right now. There's no anger in it. What do we now do? It's simply, what do we do? Prayer. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. We draw near to the throne of grace and find obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of the need to obey God and conform our lives to divine righteousness. Simple. So until it gets to that point when people will make progress and I will dance and not dance physically, that is from my heart, that Father, thank you. You mean this man has been promoted and you have not been promoted though. He's your friend. He's now two places ahead of you. He said, hey, I know, but at least, this boy has worked in this place. He has worked in this office. He's the one doing all our guys' work when he's not around. He deserves a job. Father, we thank you. I said, good, this guy has attained to righteousness. I hope you can hear what I'm saying. Those things don't come naturally. No. They are deliberate things that we convert ourselves into by employing the technology, like I was saying earlier, of the Word of God. And Jesus said, if you do that on a regular basis, all other things will be added unto you. My message is over for today. I've made my point. I'm sure you have gotten the point. We'll continue from that point next time. Let's begin to declare the Word of God, therefore. And let's rise to our feet quickly. Let's rise to our feet. First of all, there's something I'm very used to. I'm very sure of. Now, as the Word of God was coming forth, one thing I noticed, I'm sure of, is that the Word begins to speak to the heart of each person as we are going on. All right? As the Word is coming forth, it speaks to the heart. So begin to respond to that Word according to what He has said, He was saying to your heart. Yes. Thank you. Begin to respond to that Word. There's something that the Lord was speaking to you, therefore you need to respond to that. You need to respond to that. Make your commitment. You need to make your prayers. Make your commitments. Make your prayers. There was one thing that was in your heart as I was speaking. Maybe your words, they have not been coming to pass. And God says, because you have not demonstrated to me that it matters to you. You haven't demonstrated to me that it matters to you. And that's why it has not come to pass. Now let's begin to declare the Word of God. Say, in the name of Jesus. Say like you are here, in the name of Jesus. I am the salt of the earth. In the name of Jesus Christ. According to the Word of God. I am the light of the world. Say, for that reason, I am like my Father who is in heaven. I am not conformed to this world. I have the power to be different. Say, I have the power to walk differently. Say, I love my enemies. I do good to them. I pray for those who despitefully use me. Because I am like my Father who is in heaven. Say, I am not conformed to this world. I am not conformed to this world. But my conformation, that my conformity is to the Word of God. I am conformed to the righteousness of Christ. I live above the level of the Pharisees because the Spirit of Christ is in me. Say it again, because the Spirit of Christ is in me. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can obey the Word of God in every regard. I walk according to His righteousness in every respect. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now say this, God makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things. I am sufficient as a minister of the new covenant. Say this, my words do not fail. Because God speaks through me. When I speak, my words are backed with power. Say it again, when I speak, I am like Samuel. My words will not fall to the ground. You know, that's why, you know, I said to you, I don't even crack jokes. No April Fool. I don't do April Fool. Because it's a practice of unrighteousness. That's a matter of fact. It's nothing but a practice of unrighteousness. The Bible says that A madman is like a madman, the one that deceives his neighbor and says, was I not joking? So it's very important as believers, like I said, to, you know, employ the word of God to ensure, first of all, of course, our thoughts and our words. As long as it's within your power, never say things that are not true. As long as within your power, don't say things that you cannot do. Are you getting my point? Now, if you notice something, I'm not saying you don't stretch yourself. Like the story I told earlier, my friend stretched himself to do something, but he was determined to do it. You see, his determination was in it. He pushed himself until that thing came to pass because he had given a word. Listen, saints of God, that is what we do with prayer. That is what we do with prayer. We don't waste time pursuing our enemies. If you continue pursuing your enemies, you will get tired. You will not become, listen, whatever you are focused on, you become like. I hope you know that. Whatever you are focused on, you become like. If you're always focusing on your enemies, after a while, you have a spirit of enmity towards everybody. I'm not joking. That's not a joke. That's not a joke. You become suspicious. That is why. That's why it's like that. One day, my sister saw one of their cousins. Assuming the girl's name is, give me a name. Okay, Mary Magdalene, all right? Then you say, Magdalene, how now? Where are you now? The girl looked at her and said, you will not know where I am. You cannot know where I am. That kind of thing, you know, you go draw back small, say, everything okay. Why? Because the focus has been on enemies. You become like whatever you focus on. Instantly, she made an enemy there on the spot. Her own cousin said, Lai, I will never ask you where you are. She didn't say it on the surface, but inside her heart. You know, that's the end of it. You are asking your cousin, say, Ben, how now? Long time. Where are you now? Say, where I am. You want to know where I am? What do you want to do where I am? What I've told you literally happened. Say, in the name of Jesus, my focus is on Christ. The Christ who was crucified, the Christ who died for me, the Christ who rose again on my behalf, the Christ who gave me the Spirit of God. Because when you focus on Him, listen, you become like Him. Are you getting my point? Listen, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. Let me drop this as I close, something we all know. Temptations come around in life, like I said at the beginning, but we understand what they are. They are temptations. Beware of the dogs. Remember our joke? Yes, we are careful that these are temptations, so we use everything in our arsenal to overcome them. God will not say, because you are holy, they won't tempt you again. You can be sure. In fact, when you come back from church, that's when temptations tend to wait. It was after Jesus was anointed of the Holy Spirit that he was tempted of the devil. And like the one man said, R.W. Bollinger, the man said, Jesus was not tempted 3 times. Don't just believe that thing. Which is a misconception in the minds of people. You just had the experience recorded of a few temptations. He was tempted his whole life. Peter was a temptation. You will not go to the cross. That was a temptation. When Peter said, you won't go to the cross, Jesus ran to the garden and prayed to receive the power to go to the cross. That's what you need your prayer for. Don't waste it on the enemies. Use your power so that, because I said, if you follow me on if you're part of our email group, there's a book I've been sending out, the one titled Beyond Gifts and Talents. Yes. The last one that came out was how Samson lost the power. Samson lost his power before he met Delilah. Delilah collected the rest of it, and that was why he lost everything in the house of Delilah. What should we do so that Delilahs will not take advantage of us? We use our prayers to preserve our spiritual energy.